ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Text 8. Angusta Matram Amalam Spurat Purata Maulinam Apivya Darshanam Syamam Tadid Vasasam Achutam Angusta matram amalam Spurat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadid vasa samachutam Angusta matram amalam Spurat purata maulina Apivya darshanam syamam Tadid basasam achutam Angusta matram amalam Spurat purata maulina Apivya darshanam syamam Tadid vasasam achutam Angusta matram amalam Spurat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Achutam Angusta matram amalam Swarat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tridvasasam achutam Angusta matram amalam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadidvasa samachutam Angusta matram amalam Spurat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadidvasa samachutam Angusta matram amalam Swarat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadidvasamachutam Matajis Angusta matram amalam Swarat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadidvasa samachutam Angusta matram amalam Swarat purata maulinam Apivya darshanam syamam Tadidvasa samachutam Angusta by the measure of a thumb Matram only Amalam transcendental Spurat blazing Purata gold Maulinam helmet Apivya Very beautiful. Darshanam, to look at. Syamam, blackish. Tadit, lightning. Vasasam, clothing. Achyutam,
the infallible, the Lord.
Translation. He, the Lord, was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. He had a very beautiful, blackish, infallible body, and he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus he was seen by the child. I'll read text 9. Srimad Dirga Chaturbahum Tapta Kanchana Kundalam Chatajaksham Garapanim Atmanak Sarvatadisham Paribara Matan Ukabam Brahmayantam Garam Muhu. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. As he loitered about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Brahma Samhita chapter 5 that the Supreme Lord Govinda, by his one plenary portion, enters into the halo of the universe and distributes himself as Paramatma, or the Supersoul, not only within the heart of every living being, but also within every atom of the material elements. Thus, the Lord is all-pervading by his inconceivable potency, and thus he entered the womb of Uttara to save his beloved devotee Maharaj Pariksit. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, the Lord assured everyone that his devotees are never to be vanquished. No one can kill a devotee of the Lord because he is protected by the Lord, and no one can save a person whom the Lord desires to kill. The Lord is all-powerful, and therefore he can both save and kill as he likes. He became visible to his devotee, Maharaj Pariksit, even in that awkward position in the womb of his mother, in a shape just suitable for his vision. The Lord can become bigger than thousands of universes and become smaller than an atom at the same time. Merciful as he is, he becomes just suitable to the vision of the unlimited living being. He becomes just suitable to the vision of the limited living being. He is unlimited. He is not limited by any measure of our calculation. He can become bigger than what we can think of, and he can become smaller than what we can conceive. But in all circumstances, he is the same all-powerful Lord. There is no difference between the thumb-like Vishnu in the womb of Uttara and the full-fledged Narayan in the Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of Godhead. He accepts the form of Archavigraha, worshipable deity, just to accept service from his different incapable devotees. By the mercy of the Archavigraha, the form of the Lord in material elements, the devotees who are in the material world can easily approach the Lord, although he is not conceivable by the material senses. The Archavigraha is therefore an all spiritual form of the Lord to be perceived by the material devotees. Such an Archavigraha of the Lord is never to be considered material. There is no difference between matter and spirit for the Lord, although there is a gulf of difference between the two in the case of the conditioned living being. For the Lord, there is nothing but spiritual existence, and similarly, there is nothing except spiritual existence for the pure devotee of the Lord in his intimate relation with the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah.
Srimad Dirga Chaturbahum Tapta Kanchana Kundalam Chata Jaksham Gadapanim Atmana Sarvata Disham Paribrahmantam Ukabham Brahmayantam Garambuhu. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. As he loitered about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. So here, the Lord, within the womb of Uttara, the wife of the late Abhimanyu, is given. Her son was attacked by the Brahmastra. And Krishna wanted to protect the Maharaj to be within the womb of Uttara from that terrible Brahmastra. So he assumed a form that was thumb high, but like lightning, tadit, totally like lightning. And he protected Maharaj Parikshit within the womb because Krishna can do as he likes. Mare Krishna, Rake Ke, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke. Everyone should know. Mare Krishna, Rake Ke, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke. Everyone knows that? They learn in the Guru Kula. My children, when they were 6 years old, 5 years old, came home. Rake Krishna, Mare Ke, Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. But if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. This is very important verse for our bhaktas to learn. Rake Krishna, Mare Ke, Mare Krishna, Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to kill you, nothing can save you. But if Krishna wants to save you, nothing can kill you. So Krishna wanted to save Maharaj Parikshit within the womb, and he did so by his inconceivable potency. He became thumb-like. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Krishna can become smaller than the smallest, smaller than an atom, or he is bigger than the biggest. He can accept any form that he likes in order to perform some particular pastime, some particular activity. And Krishna is there with all of us. Krishna can save us, or Krishna can put us in a situation that we're not saved. Not that we should be thinking always that it's Krishna's business to save me. Krishna's saving you, even in death, in sickness, in old age. Krishna's saving you by giving us the opportunity to chant and engage in devotional service. It doesn't necessarily mean that Krishna saves this mundane material body. This body is dukkhayalam ashashvatam, temporary and a little bit miserable. Therefore, Krishna's business isn't to save the body. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he left this world, but he was saved by Krishna constantly. But his body, filled with dropsy, the failure of the liver and failure of the kidneys became inhabitable. And therefore Krishna saved Srila Prabhupada and took him to another place to continue the preaching of the Sankirtan mission, the Sankirtan movement. Just like Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was protected by Krishna in death, in leaving this body. The body may be protected, may not be protected, but the soul, who we are, that is always protected. Especially the devotees. Krishna takes special care of his devotees. Sarunam hridayam mayam, sarunam hridayam tvaham. Devotees are my heart, Krishna told Durvas Muni. And I am in their heart. I don't know anyone except the Vaishnava, the devotees, and they know no one except me. So Krishna is always there, but he's making different circumstances as he likes. Just like our Maharaj in Calcutta, in Mayapur, Jayapataka Swami. His body is going through so many difficulties, but his soul is saved in every circumstance. Even when we leave this body, the soul is protected by Krishna. There's a great story in this regard. Many, many thousands and thousands of years ago, there was a great king. His name was Bhart Maharaj. India was named after this Bhart Maharaj. He was such a great Rajarishi, saintly king. And Bhart Maharaj announced to the kingdom at a certain point in time, being saintly, that it's time for me to give up my kingdom and go to the forest to perform austerities and penance. So he left his kingdom and went to Pulaha. And there he performed great austerities and penances, preparing to go back home, back to Godhead. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kondeya saratad bhava bhavita. Whatever one thinks of at the time of death, that he attains, she attains. So this Bhart Maharaj, somehow or other, while he was chanting and meditating in the forest, he heard some commotion. One lion was chasing a deer. What do you call a doe? And as the doe was fleeing in fear of the lion, it was a pregnant doe. She gave birth to a baby, what do you call, fawn? Fawn. And the doe passed away from being chased by the ferocious lion. So Bhart Maharaj was, his meditation was broken. His chanting was interrupted. And he started to care for this little fawn. Everything the fawn would do, even in his meditation, he'd hold the fawn and pet the fawn and play with the fawn and be with the fawn. And he gained great attraction for this little deer. So much so that at the time of his death in the forest, he was thinking of that deer. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajiti ante kalevaram. Tam tam evaiti konteya saratad bhava bhavita.
Whatever you're thinking of, that you attain. Even he was a saintly king. He had to take birth as a deer in order to fulfill his life's mission. First, he had to become a deer before he would finish going back to the spiritual world. Not that easy that immediately, no matter what you're thinking, no matter what you do, you go back to Godhead because at one point in time you were initiated. No. One has to be thinking of Ante Narayana Smriti. One has to be thinking of Krishna constantly, especially when there's difficulties. Queen Kunti said, let those difficulties come again and again, because when they come, I can immediately think of you, my Lord. So this Bharat Maharaj became a deer in his next life. But by the grace of the saintly people, I think, who gave him prasadam, and in his next birth, he took birth as a in the family, as it's stated in the Vedas, that one takes birth in the family of, in a wealthy family or a Brahminical family or Vaishnav family. So this Bart, the deer, in his next life took birth in a very Brahminical family. His father was a nice Brahmin. But because he was fearful of falling down again, as he had done previously, he assumed the position of deaf and dumb, this Bart. He was now Judd Bart. And Judd Bart couldn't learn any of the Brahminical duties, couldn't chant the Gayatri mantra, but actually deep within, he was a devotee, a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Even sometimes we see in the family of devotees that there may be a child that's born with some injury or defect or disturbance. Even some of our devotees later in life, they experience some difficulty. Some of us, not even later in life, in the beginning of our life. But this is all the plan of Lord Krishna. This is Krishna's mercy. One achieves this particular material body with its concomitant miseries and enjoyment by the will of the Supreme and our past pious and impious activities. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho upapataye striya pravishta udaram pumsareta kanashraya. By the will of the Supreme and by our past karmic activities, we are given a particular material body with which to enjoy or suffer. And most of us were not born in Brahminical families. I know I was not born in a family of Brahmins. My mother passed away 2 weeks ago, and my brother is suing my sister for stealing the money of my father. I don't think they're Brahmins. He's taking her to court. The woman just had
open heart surgery, pacemaker put in, quadruple bypass, and she's being sued by my brother, who gave me his kidney, my brother, for usurping the funds that supposedly my mother had. My sister had called me last week and said, we got some money back from an insurance policy. Can you get your little brother's address for me? And I'll send the divide it by three and descend. I said, and send it out. I said, oh, great, just in time for Christmas. How much is the total? She said, $720. I said, how much is that each? She took out her calculator, $240. Inheritance. My brother said, you can keep the $240. I'm suing for the $100,000 that's missing. This is not Brahminical life. This isn't Brahminical family. But Judd Bart, he was born in the family of Brahmins. Judd Bart, though taking the position of a deaf and dumb man, ultimately after his father, the Brahmin, passed away, his brothers put him out to the field to work like an animal. And one day, some dacoits, terrible dacoits, who were murderous thieves and worshippers of Kalima, they captured this Judd Bart because they thought they could offer him as a human sacrifice to Kalima, Kalima Durga. So they brought him to the temple, they cleansed him, they fed him, they put on nice clothing, and they started chanting, Kalima Durga, Kalima Durga, like our friends the impersonalists like to chant. And they offered this Judd Bart as a human sacrifice, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Kali, in the deity form in the temple, she came out of the deity so enraged at these dacoits and thieves and murderers that she started, her and her associates slaughtered all of them because of their great offense to Judd Bart. And she protected Judd Bart. Krishna protected Judd Bart. Because Judd Bart had a great seva to perform. When he left that Kali temple, he was just wandering on the road, and one day the king's palanquin came by. King at the time was Rahugana. King Rahugana, he was going through the kingdom in a palanquin. Just like sometimes we carried Srila Prabhupada in a rocking chair palanquin. Two devotees, I have pictures, would carry Srila Prabhupada in July and August, September of 77, in a rocking chair palanquin from his room to the temple and back and up the stairs to his residence. Downstairs was his office in Vrindavan. So this King Rahugana was in a palanquin, but one of the palanquin bearers fell ill. So they found another palanquin bearer, Judd Bart. Please help carry this king. All you have to do, you look strong, is carry the palanquin on your, I guess, on your shoulders. So Jed Bart became the palanquin bearer. But because he was actually a great devotee of the Lord, he was walking a little bit crookedly, because every time he would see ants, he would try to walk in such a way not to step on an ant. This is a Vaishnavi. Not even to hurt an ant. What to speak of other persons. He was walking in such a way, tiptoeing through the road, but as a result, the trip was very rugged for Maharaj Rahugana. So Rahugana called out, "Who is the rascal?" And the in charge said, "It's Jed Bart. He's trying not to step on ants. I will correct him. Please don't worry." So he kept walking, and the still, he's avoiding the ants, he's avoiding the whatever he would cause harm to, and as a result, the ride was very jagged and rough for Rahugana. He came out, he was ready to punish, take a rod, a stick, and he started blasting Jed Bart. But Jed Bart preached to Maharaj Rahugana. He told him that you're king in this life, but previous life you might have been something else. And anyway, you're not this body. Why are you so concerned about the comfort of this body? This body is temporary. You should be concerned about the position of your soul. On and on, Jed Bart was preaching so nicely to Maharaj Rahugana that Maharaj Rahugana begged forgiveness of Jed Bart and became his devotee, disciple, so to speak, and took up Krishna consciousness very seriously. So this was Jed Bart's mission. He got this great king. And later, when he left that body of the Defendam, he went back to the spiritual world. So Krishna, Mare Krishna, Rake Ke, Rake Krishna, Mare Ke. Krishna wants to protect you. No one can hurt you. Krishna wants to kill you. Nothing can save you. We should know at all times, Krishna is protecting the soul. Krishna is protecting us. And without Krishna, what would we be? Nothing. But at the same time, there's a purpose for our existence. And that sometimes Krishna puts us in a particular situation so that we can fulfill the purpose of our... just like there was one Sankirtan devotee in Chicago. We were going to O'Hare Airport. He was a good Sankirtan devotee. But somehow he broke his leg. And he was very upset and thinking that this is really unfortunate. How could Krishna have done this to me? I was doing big Sankirtan. It was the marathon. So someone convinced him, go to the airport anyway. We'll get you a wheelchair. So they got him a wheelchair. Then he was tired because his leg was broken. He had a cast on. He was probably on a little bit of medication. He fell asleep at the airport. And he had a big, what do you call, the collection bin, bowl, on his lap, sleeping. And maybe a little bit like this coming down. And people felt so sad. People were coming over, dropping dollar after dollar, 10 to 20, 50, whatever. He collected $450 every day he went out. And even he wasn't tired, he just acted like he was asleep. Easiest sankirtan on the block you can do. So sometimes Krishna puts us in a position we don't know. But not that we curse God. Why have you done this to me? I'm your devotee. Can't you treat me properly? No. Krishna does as he likes. He may leave us brokenhearted, by not being present before. He may take away whatever you possess, bodily limbs. But that is Krishna's grace and Krishna's protection. Because he has a plan and he has a great mercy and benediction for those who stay constantly engaged. Tesam satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam 10:10 bhagavatam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they come to me. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga.
I hope Chris doesn't like to take another one of your feet. I'll take my finger. How many things are wrong? Especially the vocals.